In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our epistle reading today, Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I cannot tell you how many times in premarital counseling I have heard these words. Pastor, I don't care what readings we have for our wedding, but the one reading we will not have is that horrible thing about submitting. Ephesians 5, I reply. Yes, that's the one. We want no part of that at our wedding. And it is usually at this moment that I look over at the groom-to-be, who tends to have himself an interesting look on his face, one of shock and disappointment, at the same time as if to say, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? That's the reading I really wanted. But when the bride-to-be turns to him and says, isn't that right, honey? It's settled. The look disappears. His head begins to nod. In 12 years, I can't count the number of couples who come into my office hating this text. Our epistle reading for today. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you, as you read or hear this text, feel the same way as the couples in premarital counseling do? Women, or more specifically, wives, how many of you are irritated by these words? How many of you view them as nothing more than oppressive, patriarchal, misogynistic garbage that only seeks to purport women as inferior to men? Some of you? Most of you? Let's be honest, it is really easy to hear these words and to view them in that way. And when you hear those words, it kind of makes you want to stand up and rebel a little, doesn't it? To say, yeah? Well, guess what? I don't need you. I'm smarter. I'm certainly better looking and more capable than you are. Anything you can do, I can do better. Now stand aside. I'll show you that men, not women, are the weaker sex. Wives, submit to your husband? Nasty, evil little words. Right? Wrong. These words are not evil or nasty, because they are nothing less than God's holy word taken straight from Scripture. They are nothing less than God's command, his expectation, his design, his desire for you. This is how God designed things to function back when he created the world in Genesis chapter 2 and called all things good. And to call it evil or bad or to rebel against it is nothing short of sinful. It is telling your Lord that your design, that your way of doing things is better than his, and that you no better than him. Now men, or more specifically, husbands, including me, do not stand there or sit there with a look on your face like the husband in premarital counseling, which says, yeah, that's right, a wife is to submit to me, which means she has to do what I tell her to do. She has to sit there and be silent. Just nod your head or do whatever I say whenever I say it, because I'm the man. I'm the head of the household, and you're just my little wife who needs to submit to me. If you think and act like that, then it is absolutely clear that you have no clue what God is saying through the Apostle Paul this day. You have no clue what it means to submit, and you are acting, speaking, and thinking like an oppressive, patriarchal, misogynistic sinner. Men, if you are thinking, speaking, or acting like that, then you are sinning against the Lord and you are sinning against your wife. You have failed to realize what it is to be a man, to be a true husband. You have missed what God says through St. Paul in verse 25 altogether. St. Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy." You see, being a true man, being a true husband, is all wrapped up in, is all about Jesus and what he has done for his sinful, sin-filled bride, the church. What he has done for you and what he has done for me. Us oppressive, patriarchal, misogynistic men, and rebellious and defiant women. Jesus, the true man, your true husband, God in the flesh, came down from heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary, not to rule over you, not to oppress you, not to treat you like dirt and walk all over you, call you names, or even make you serve him because he's the man. No. He came to love you, to cherish you, to serve you, to protect you, to purify you from the sin that clings to you and to me, that oppresses, that hurts, that kills, that separates us from him. Jesus, your loving husband, willingly chose to endure what you and I, his bride, deserve for our sin. He willingly took your pain. He was beaten for you, mocked for you, spit on, crowned with thorns, and nailed to the cross for you. And it is on that cross that Jesus, your true husband, cried out for you, bled for you, died for you. He loved you unto death, even death upon the cross. He gave up his life for you. He sacrificed his life to purify you, to cleanse you, to forgive you, and to protect you from the death that separates you from him. Jesus died and rose so that you and I, his bride, the church, would be beautiful, forgiven, holy, and radiant in his sight. And so you are. You are beautiful. You are forgiven. You are holy and radiant in his sight because Jesus has made you that way through his selfless self-sacrifice. That's what it means to be a true man, to be a true husband. That is Christ. And after seeing and experiencing all of this, after being beautified and forgiven, after being made holy and radiant by the selfless love of our husband, Jesus, how do we, his bride, the church, respond? Well, as St. Paul says, by submitting ourselves to our true husband in great wonder and awe and humility and joy, saying, "You willingly gave up everything and endured hell on the cross just for me? You loved me enough to give your life unto death for me, even though I have been unfaithful to you? How can I ever begin to thank you? How can I ever begin to show gratitude for what you have done? What, my dearest husband, my love, can I do for you? And our husband's response, Christ's response, is recorded for you in Ephesians 5. Simply summarized, do what I created you to do. Live how I've given you to live. Recognize that I created marriage to be the fundamental relationship between a man and a woman. Recognize that your earthly marriages are to reflect the relationship that I have with you, the church. Pattern your marriages after the relationship that I have with you, Jesus says. With you, my beloved bride, the church. Or, in the words of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. In essence, be a man, be a true husband, imitate Christ. Show her selfless love, self-sacrificial love. You know, instead of ditching her, for example, and ignoring her every week for a game on TV, a sporting event, right? Or time with the guys at work, at the bar, golfing, fishing, hunting, or just watching TV in general. You know, choose to spend time with her. Turn off the TV. Go for a walk, just the two of you. Take off work early and surprise her with a candlelight dinner. Leave her a little voice message on her phone in the middle of the day, a note in her purse telling her how much you love her and you can't wait to see her. Show her that next to God, she is the most important in your person in your life. Instead of coming home also from like work or something like that and leaving your shoes or clothes all over the house, take a few minutes and put them away. Hang it up. Put things back where you found them. Clean up the mess. That way your wife doesn't feel like a maid. You know, instead of coming home after work and plopping on the couch and leaving her to do everything, you know, help her cook dinner. Take care of the kids, the grandkids, manage the household. Instead of yelling at her or tuning her out or not listening to her or trying to solve a problem, whatever temptation you might have, simply maybe try to empathize with her. Listen to her. Something like, wow, honey, I can't believe that happened to you. It sounds like you had a really rough day. That goes a long way. She feels listened to. The point is, whatever you do, treat her for what she is. Your unique, cherished gift of God. Go to church with her and your family every week. For is that not what Christ has given you to do? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. St. Paul says, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. In essence, be a woman, a true wife. Imitate the church. Well, maybe encourage your husband to fulfill his God-given leadership role. Don't usurp it. Don't try to take charge. Oh, you know, when your husband comes home from a long day of work, don't immediately bombard him with all the problems. Instead, perhaps, you know, take a minute and recognize how hard he worked for you, for the rest of the family that day. Thank him for it. And if you need him to help you, well then, tell him what you need him to do and trust him to do it. If he doesn't right away, don't rebel and say, fine, I'll do it myself. I don't need you. Don't do that. Because if you do that, then you'll either make him feel like you don't need him or you'll encourage him to just be lazy. Rather, if he doesn't do what you've asked him to do, perhaps just go directly to him look him lovingly in the eye and say, something along the lines of, "Honey, I know you had a really rough day, and I do appreciate all the hard work you did today, and I know you want to sit and relax, and you deserve it. You do. But right now, I need you. I need your help. Make your request, and if he does it, well, don't give him the silent treatment or say, well, it's about time you did it. Just thank it for him and appreciate what he's done. And when you get together, maybe among your fellow ladies, don't get together to have a husband bash fest and tell all your girlfriends about how bad, how lazy, how irresponsible your husband is. Show him some respect. Speak well of him. Whatever you do, the point is this. Treat him for what he is. Your husband. Your gift from God. Wives, respect your husbands. Perhaps some of you listening to the sermon today think that none of this actually applies to you. Because, hey, you're not married, and we've been speaking to husbands and wives after all. But it actually does apply. For you too are Christ's beloved bride. You too have been forgiven and cleansed and purified of your sin. And you too, even though you are not married right now, have been given the responsibility by your husband, Jesus Christ our Lord, to live always in the light of the marital relationship, which is nothing less than a picture of the relationship that Christ has with you. So, those who are single, maybe teenagers, singles, adults, anybody else, what this means is that you treat everybody of the opposite sex like they are someone else's spouse. You don't sleep with someone outside of marriage. You don't wear certain kinds of clothing to show off your body so people can look at you lustfully. You don't look at people lustfully and somehow take an opportunity and undress them with your eyes. You don't seek to kiss everyone you date. You don't seek to look at pornography. You don't intentionally go to a movie or watch a movie simply to stare at somebody with lustful desire, whether it be a hot girl or an attractive guy. The point is, in what you do, whatever that may be, you don't seek to do things like that or those things. Because those people, they're not your husband. They're not your wife. Rather, they are someone else's spouse, or they will be someone else's spouse, or could be one day. And doing any of those things breaks the sixth commandment. As Christians, we strive to live always in the light of marriage. And that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Living always in the light of marriage. Because even as Christians, even as the bride of Christ, which one of us standing up here in a pulpit or sitting there in a pew, which one of us, married or single, has not broken the sixth commandment in some way, shape, or form? Whether it be an action, word, or thought, or all of those things. And if you have, if you have broken the sixth commandment, if you have failed to live perfectly in the light of marriage as a husband, wife, or someone who is single, if you have sinned against your true husband, Jesus, and are sorry for that sin, well, then I have good news for you this day. Dear beloved bride of Christ, Jesus, your true husband, has not walked away from you. Jesus, your true husband, has not abandoned you. He has not divorced you. He has not cheated on you. He has remained faithfully committed to you. He has loved you unto death, even death upon the cross. And there is nothing
Not death, nor life, not angels, nor rulers, not things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation, not even your sin, that is able to separate you from your bridegroom, Jesus Christ, our Lord, risen from the grave. He comes to you this day, his beloved bride, and he tenderly speaks, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Your husband says to you, his beloved bride, today you are pure. You are holy. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are beautiful and radiant. You are my bride, adorned in the wedding garment of salvation, which I have given to you. My own precious blood that covers all your sins. And it is out of deep wonder, awe, love, and joy for our husband Christ, who gave himself up for us as a sacrifice, who forgave, cleansed, and purified us from our sin, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, innocent suffering, and bitter death. It is out of this that we, his bride, humbly and joyfully submit ourselves to him and live under him by living within the boundaries of his marital design. This is Ephesians 5. This is the word of the Lord. This is a profound mystery. But I'm saying that it refers to Christ and his church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. In Jesus' name. Amen.